With COVID came a new intentional focus on online classes. It was mandated in the spring as positive cases escalated and school officials were sent scrambling to keep students and teachers safe. And some students across the Midwest headed back to school this fall, whether they've been cleared by lowered COVID cases or simply pushed forward by other pressures as stay-at-home measures were relaxed. But in many communities, the virtual classroom has become the new normal, and it's not just academics that are impacted. This reporting piece is part of a collaboration between WNIN and the University of Evansville called COVID Between the Coasts. The student reporting on this segment is Avery Paraboom. Her work took her from Wisconsin to Kentucky.
Sure. And then, you know, some of this we don't know necessarily what's going on unless they tell us.
As of April, 3/4 of school social workers said that most of their students require serious mental health support due to trauma related to COVID-19 and its fallout. This could include anything from fear of sickness to parent job loss or feelings of isolation. In Green Bay, Wisconsin, where COVID cases reached records, students returned to virtual school this fall. Karen Brown Schabel is a social worker at Green Bay West High School, which serves students from a wide range of socioeconomic backgrounds. Karen knows of students working longer hours to help support their families through financial turmoil. Others have had to step up as caregivers for younger siblings also out of school. In turn, the Green Bay Area Public School District has tried to provide for its most disadvantaged students.
They can still come and pick up meals. They can get breakfast, lunch, and dinner all together. They come anytime between 11 and 3 to our school, and they can pick it up, or they can pick it up from any school, and they can pick up for their siblings, their neighbors, whatever, it doesn't matter. And so we've also started putting out some hygiene supplies that we buy with the special budget we have, so that the kids have soap, shampoo, you know, laundry detergent, if we can throw that in, that kind of stuff. Because it's hard to know who needs what, but those kinds of items are the kind of things that, you know, Food Share doesn't buy laundry detergent and toilet paper. Mm-hmm. Back in the spring, there was Operation Community Cares, which was this, it was a program. I don't know if I referenced that in my last interview.
You actually, you didn't, but you can definitely talk about that.
Okay, that was a project that was started by a community agency and just a concerned citizen who was like, you know what can we do here? So several different agencies sort of combined up resources to have an agency that could distribute food to people. Mm-hmm. So it was quite an interesting to watch how fast it came together. And it was interesting to watch how helpful it was to have different agencies all kind of funneling that stuff together, mm-hmm. instead of every agency trying to, you know, kind of do their own thing.
Yeah.
It was very coordinated and it was very well done. And that was one of the things that that I worked on Saturdays.
The difficulty of online school is how much more it relies on resources at home. So even for students who don't need to worry about food on the table, there's the challenge of technology, or even simply having the right atmosphere to work.
You know, if you live in a house and there's 4 kids there, and mom and or dad or grandma or whoever, I don't know, and then now you're all there and you're all using the same Wi-Fi, and then, it kicks some of you out, or you don't really have enough Wi-Fi. I mean, all of that in terms of, that's a resource issue, right?
Yes.
Wi-Fi and how much personal space you have to get done what you need to do and have a quiet place to do it.
But the Green Bay District tried to meet students where they were, providing wireless broadband called Kijits for students who needed it. The switch to virtual education was a process of learning by trial and error for everyone involved. In the spring, the Kijits were often pushed to capacity in households with multiple students, so they then had to be adjusted in proportion to users for the fall. Back-to-back virtual semesters gave the Green Bay District a unique opportunity to get this one right, so they made a point of listening to student feedback. Overwhelmingly, students have felt disengaged from schoolwork, their instructors, and their peers, so it's tempting to stop logging in altogether.
We also added this home-based class, which is like an advisory period. It's after second hour, it's almost half an hour long, and so that is really intended to address the socio-emotional stuff, and also just to have you know, like a little cohort of your people, say, you know, 12 to 15, I think, of your people that know about you, that care about you, that you notice, that will get information about, just that kind of thing. So that, you know, I don't know, say Bobby doesn't show up to advisory for 3 days, that his teacher would know, huh, something must be going on with Bobby, and then reaches out to say, so how you doing? And kind of watches their grades and tries to help them with coping strategies.
Perhaps an unexpected positive from COVID does exist, though. Potential for greater emphasis on students' emotional well-being could be the answer. After the spring semester, the support staff at West High School trained teachers on responses to stress and trauma so they could be better able to help students. Much of the material focused on a concept called restorative practices, which is basically the emerging science of relationship and community building.
We had talked about doing this. We had a committee formed a year or two before that. We were talking about this, and this though became a district-wide initiative that came out as a result of the pandemic, trying to make sure that we were joining with kids and trying to monitor them as closely as we can in terms of monitoring their, you know, socio-emotional learning as well. No, I think, we might tweak it some, but my guess is that maybe we'll be here to stay.
Students might also be looking at college differently for the foreseeable future. According to the College Savings Foundation, 39% of 2020 graduates said that the economic uncertainty of COVID-19 would affect their decisions about college.
Just on Friday, I think I was talking to a student, and I said, oh, you're so-and-so's sibling. What's she up to now? I know she graduated last year. And she said, oh, she's working. She decided to put off going to NWTC, the community college around here. She said she decided to put that off for now because of the whole pandemic and everything being so uncertain.
The anxiety doesn't stop with high schoolers. Philip Mimoser is a student at Murray State University in Murray, Kentucky, where he's been a bartender at Tap 216 for almost 2 years. Although Tap 216 only shut down for a few weeks in the spring, COVID's still hurting Philip's wallet.
I'm getting 40 hours a week, but I double Friday, Saturday, Sundays. So, in the restaurant business, it's just, there's a mandated capacity, so you're not getting as many customers as you used to. You don't have as many tables in there. And bartender, you can't have people sit at the bar in Kentucky. So that has ultimately affected the number of people and pretty much your kind of average wages that you tend to make in tips.
Philip's graduating this fall. Not only does he have to worry about paying his expenses with these reduced savings, he's also staring down job applications in an industry ravaged by COVID.
I want to be a liquor rep. I want to sell alcohol at bars, liquor stores, grocery stores. I want to go down that route because of my experience as a bartender managing a liquor store and been in the food industry for 9 years. Right now, it is nearly impossible to get a job in alcohol sales due to the fact that breweries and distilleries are making less amount of alcohol because bars are not open at 100% capacity. People are choosing not to go out and eat and dine as much as they were prior to COVID. And alcohol sales are just down. So they're letting people go and they're not willing to hire anyone because they're not making as much money anymore.
55% of all students polled by the College Savings Foundation say that COVID's going to impact the rest of their lives. Young people may have the immune advantage, but the pandemic still looms large for those with a whole life ahead.